Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, you know, when the markets get a little crazy, we always have to reach out to our experts. And a former guest right here at the Bubba Show is coming back to straighten us out. It's our good friend, Drew Horder from Horder Investment Management. Drew, welcome back to the show, my man.
Hi, Bubba. It's great to be here.
You know, it's great to have you on. And, you know, Drew, you've always been pretty much on top of the market. I mean, you've been in this business for, what, over 30 years now, and really one of the top guys in the Cincinnati area and Ohio. And, Drew, do me a favor, you know, kind of recap, you know, what you guys are doing and what you're kind of thinking and how this, the beginning of this year has been, you know, to you and what you're seeing in overall.
Yeah, thanks, Bubba. It's obviously very interesting and volatile times right now. Throughout our history of managing money, and we manage about $1 billion of assets now in our tactical asset management portfolios, this is probably one of those volatile and disconcerting times that we've seen since the 07 and 08 years. So we're very concerned, obviously, about what's happened in the stock market, the volatility. You know, if oil goes up, the market goes up, where it used to be historically the opposite. So we're seeing some bits and pieces where it's not making any sense to the old adages that we used to follow, or most investors used to follow. So we're seeing a lot of new clients, a lot of new advisors coming to us. We have about 360 advisors across the country now, concerned about their asset allocation models, are concerned about the buy and hold, and what do you do if this is another 08, if there is another crisis or black swan event, you know, what exactly is happening to their portfolios, because they can only make money traditionally in those two areas. The stock market's got to go up, and or interest rates have to stay flat or down. With our portfolios, as a tactical manager, specifically, we can make money where the stock market goes up or the stock market goes down. We can make money whether interest rates are going up or interest rates are going down. So we have a lot of flexibility in our portfolios, in addition to going risk off to cash. Of our 14 managers or 14 portfolios that we have, seven of those were in cash to start the year. So we started off very well as far as being risk averse. And then when you look at us, how some of our other managers have done, in particular, let's just look at our treasury trader is up about 2.5-3% year to date net of fees, trading the 30-year treasury. Excuse me. So risk aversion, our portfolios are doing great. Our low-risk portfolio was down approximately about 1% year-to-date net of fees. And our equity portfolios, the primary ones on what we call our sleeves of managers, are down between 1.5% and 2% net of fees. And as you know, the market now is obviously in correction territory from its high of May of last year.
So, Drew, yeah, and again, those are fine results based on what's going on. And it's really, especially when you look underneath the hood of the market, because, you know, we've been so mesmerized and hypnotized by those big names that everybody forgot to look at the real companies that most people actually own in their portfolios. It's been kind of a little bit of an ugly start. But one of the things you did mention, I want to go over that. I've been, you know, I do a lot of media on air as well, and I have been saying oil and the stock market are not correlated, and maybe for a temporary time you're seeing similar action, but over time they typically don't go in the same direction. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. That's why it's such an odd time right now, because people are actually hoping oil goes up, which means that the economies are doing better, and then they won't raise rates. Whereas before, if you saw oil going up, you know, the cost to the consumers going up, it's going to hurt the economy, et cetera. So, yeah, very, very strange times with respect to some of the old rules versus the new rules.
Now, what I found interesting, Drew, is, you know, when we went through at the end of last year and oil started to drop, and everybody goes, oh, it's great for the consumer, it's going to increase retail sales, and blah, 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 blah. Now, this year they said, well, no, that's not the case. And I go, but wait a second, last year it was good, now it's not good. But overall, we are seeing a pretty much of a slowdown through the regular retail consumer. Are you not seeing that?
Oh, yes. I mean, we're seeing a very good example of this, and not only did the retail and consumption with a 0.7 GDP for the last quarter, are they really spending money with this quote-unquote oil savings? You know, that's not necessarily happening. I think people are getting a little more scared of actually what's happening in the marketplace when you hear of all the companies that are either letting people go, or especially the oil industry and other corporations that are, you know, refocusing and letting jobs go as far as their own companies.
Right, and that has been, you know, a concern of mine is the overall jobs and things that are going on. But Drew, do me a favor, take us a rundown through the advisory business and what you guys do.
Yeah, the advisory business, I've been an RIA, Registered Investment Advisor, firm since 1991. So I've been in the business of hiring primarily third-party money managers that are more risk-averse and can help our clients, you know, get excellent rates of return over time, but with risk reduction and risk mitigation. So in our industry, we're trying to help those people that want to get away from the possibility of losing 20, 30, or 40% or 50%, like they did in 08 and in 09. So risk aversion, and how do you do that? Everybody wants lower than normal risk, but higher than normal rates of return, but virtually nobody ever gets it if you ever read the Dalbar study. So our goal is, look, let's be defensive in bad times and opportunistic in good times. It's the bend but don't break tactical portfolios, like I said, where we can go risk off the cash. We can make money if the market's going up or the market's going down, or as we are in a 30-year low in interest rates, if interest rates start climbing dramatically, how do you make money in bonds and not get ruined if you're holding in particular bonds? So the RIAs that join Hoarder in particular are looking at how to protect their client assets, not let them get ruined by virtue of some black swan event or some systemic risk we might run into with respect to the world, and you'll be able to protect their money but still make good rates of return over time. So we're seeing a lot of new advisors come our way, come to our monthly trainings here in Cincinnati as well as on the West Coast. What are you all about? This is a new you know, opportunity for investors to, you know, to get away from the buy and hold or asset allocation models and move into something where you've got audited histories that go back as far as 8 years or so of how they tactically moved in and out of the markets, whether on the long side or actually making money as the markets go down. So it's a much more flexible way to look at money with protection, the primary reasoning behind what our advisors do for Hoarder.
Now, I hope everybody's listening to Drew here, because what he's telling you is very important stuff in general, and whether you've got a lot of money or a little money, it's about the risk aversion, making sure that you take care of yourself and make sure that you have a strategy that makes sense to your portfolio. And that's where guys like Drew come into play, because that's what they do. They are professionals at operating it. And we're gonna step out here for a break, but we're gonna get a lot more from Drew, because he's gonna spend the day with us, because I want all of my listeners to understand exactly what a guy like Drew can do for you as your investments and helping you protect. Because one thing we know for sure, we don't want to let the wealth slip away. We want to make sure we're using great strategies that help us work our way forward instead of backwards, because it's easy to go backwards if you're not paying attention. But Drew Hoarder of HoarderInvestmentManagement.com, 30 years in the business, a good friend of the program, and really has got some great exciting news. We're going to talk to him about that as well when we come back from the break. Make sure you check out BubbaTrading.com and check out a lot of the blogs and some of the things we're doing right now, because we've been on top of this market the entire time. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz with Drew Horder from Horder Investment. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
It's the time of the season.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz with our friend Drew Horder from Horder Investment Management out of Cincinnati. So, Drew, we were talking about the RIA space and things, and I know that you've got some exciting news, and I'd love you to share it with us. I've been reading about you, and I know you got involved with a Chicago company as well. And tell us about that deal and what's going on.
Yeah, we're working with a large field marketing organization called Dressander BHC, and what we're doing is helping their agents / advisors understand how to, take the fixed index annuity where you can't lose your principal and you can't lose your annual gains, and how do you combine that with low risk, low volatility asset management to protect your long-term future. So it's a great partnership, great people, have about 8,000 agents, advisors across the country, and they just want to learn how to segue from the annuity structures where you can't lose, but how can I make some decent money over time and still avoiding a principal risk to my portfolio. So it's the tortoise versus the hare mentality of safety, security, and low risk and low volatility investing, but still make excellent returns over time and protect your money, especially those pre-retirees and retirees that might be looking to live from 60 or 65 to 90 years old, got 25 to 30 years of exposure to a high-priced stock market and a very risky bond market with interest rates so low and with the probability going up. You know, how do you actually manage your money effectively for the next 25 or 30 years? Because if you do a normal asset allocation model today, can you afford to lose 35%, which is what the 60% in stocks and 40% in bonds lost from October of 2007 to March of 2009? How can you afford to have that happen to you when you're taking out 3 or 4% of income and have 2 or 3% of inflation to abate? It can be a spiral downward for this 25 years if you don't have a primary focus of capital preservation with the opportunity to make some decent money over time. So that's the biggest message we're carrying, and this relationship with Dressander at Chicago is an outstanding relationship where we train their advisors on how to use this low risk and low volatility and implement our risk tolerance tests and risk stress tests that we give every client to make sure they truly understand the risk that they have in their portfolio and can make a knowledgeable decision on how they want to go forward.
Now, Drew, isn't it part of your MO and the your theory that not only do you want to obviously, A, protect your money, B, grow it, but also C, kind of compound it, so if we get to you young enough, we can really compound that money, and instead of, we can actually conserve and build wealth. Isn't that a big strategy of yours?
Well, it's huge because, if you lose 50%, you got to make 100% to get back to even. And if most investors at that point in time, they don't want to take any risk because they've lost 50%, so they're going to go back in when they're comfortable, which is the greed side of the equation, and when they're fearful, they sit on cash. So what they need is an educated advisor that can help them work through these issues on understanding their portfolios and how they're designed with low risk and low volatility, complemented by the fixed income asset of the annuity structure. So the compounding effect can only happen if you have capital preservation and you're not falling behind like what has happened since January of 2000, where people have not made any money technically for 13 years in the S&P 500. So going backwards, you lose so much ground. The point is, even if you lose 10%, you only got to make 11% to get back to even. So a little bit of a drawdown in that case is okay. You just can't afford to have the big ones where you're behind the eight ball, you're taking income, you got inflation, and you got a real problem with respect. You'll have no compounding. You just want to get your money back.
And it's funny, Drew, because we talk about that all the time on the Bubba Show as well, is it's there's going to be drawdowns. I don't care who you are or what you know. There's going to be periods when markets go against you, no matter which side you're on, and you're going to have to make that decision as a manager and as an advisor to help your people decide that this is the time maybe we should cut our loss and move on and look for a better opportunity. Is that one of the things that you look at as well?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, we've tried to put as much science and art into our portfolio designs where you put non-correlated managers together with different asset classes and different models or algorithms. So when one is zigging, the other's zagging and smoothing out returns over time. So we believe in what we call the sleeves of managers that have all this non-correlation and different asset classes and models. So they complement each other and you get a much smoother ride over time. And decreasing your drawdowns as much as 60 to 80%, but still participating quite well on the upside. So new terminology, non-correlation and max drawdowns are what clients are going to have to understand, and advisors, that's the future going forward, especially as we get all this volatility that's taking place and these mini flash crashes that drive people out of the market because they just don't understand. So they get paralyzed and go off on the sidelines.
So, Drew, on your different portfolios, your different classes, what are some of the asset classes you guys use to help smooth out that portfolio?
Yeah, well, let's just take a look at our low-risk sleeve. We have a manager that can actually be long or short high-yield bonds. Well, in the last basically year and a half since July of 2014, you've seen oil come down. Well, 20% of the high-yield bonds issued are all to the frackers and to the shale companies. And now with the oil down around $30 a barrel, they can barely make payments. So if you happen to be in that asset class of high-yield bonds, you have to either get out and go to cash, because if you're staying in, you're getting hurt dramatically because of all the risk now with some of the bonds in those portfolios. We added a portfolio that could now be short high-yield bonds, short the ETFs of either a JNK or HYG, and actually make money now rather than being hurt by being long high yield. So that's one portfolio. We can be invested in tactical portfolios of municipal bonds, where we have ways to protect principal but also get the coupon of 4 to 5% from the municipal bond income, but still protecting principal with respect to being long or short in the municipal bond space. Then if you combine that with a very low-risk portfolio of primarily intermediate bonds that has some upside that it has in its portfolio in the last quarter of the year, utilizing the Russell 2000 in the fourth quarter, we combine those different strategies and you get very little drawdown, but still excellent rates of return of 5, 6, maybe 7% a year. But you've got three different asset classes, three different models, and they're all non-correlated. So it really is a much smoother ride going forward.
So when we look at the different kinds of classes, doesn't it bother you, Drew, that the high-yield bond space is in so much trouble that people are willing to take so much less than they were in the past for those much riskier assets?
Yeah, well, a lot of people went to the high-yield bonds in the last 2, 3, 4 years because the yield was so high compared to treasuries or investment-grade bonds. So now you're out on the skinny branches, and when you're out on the skinny branches, they break. So if you're long high-yield bonds, and the coupons have been climbing upwards of 8 to 9%, And now you've got liquidity problems with the fund like Third Avenue closing its doors to redemptions. What do you do if you don't have an expert in showing you how to actually participate in the high-yield bonds, still get some yield, but also have the ability to be short high-yield bonds and those ETFs I just mentioned to protect your principal? So, yes, being long today or owning high-yield bonds or high-yield bond funds or high-yield bond ETFs and hoping and praying you do well, you've done really badly in the last 12 to 18 months.
Although, and those are two of the four bad words that any advisor or any trader will tell you that will hurt every investor, and that's hope and pray, because those kind of strategies never work in the big market. It's something that, again, we all fall into it, but that's something you got to watch out for. We're going to step out here for a break. We're with our friend Drew Horder from HorderInvestment.com, really bringing us some really good information today. Make sure you check out BubbaTrading.com. And also, if you ever miss an episode, LibertyTalk.fm on demand. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're with Drew Horder from Horder Investment. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with our friend Drew Horder out of Cincinnati, Ohio. One of the bigger RIAs around in town and has done a good job over 30 years in business. And we're certainly fortunate to have him with us today. Drew, one thing I want to ask you is, you know, we've all heard of advisors. Who needs an advisor, and what type of person should be coming to a guy like you?
Yeah, good question, because, you know, there's all this new talk about the DOL, the Department of Labor, and their new fiduciary responsibility, and there's a lot of confusion amongst advisors, brokers, et cetera. So, you know, what clients look at today is they don't know the difference between the two. So there's... And I've had all these licenses, Series 6, 7, 22, 24, and 63, and that would put me on the commission or transaction-oriented side of the business. So I would receive commissions, et cetera, but I only was held to a lesser standard of suitability, which means if a client had the income and the assets and the risk tolerance, technically I can sell them anything they want based on those criteria. On the flip side, being an RIA under the Securities and Exchange Commission since 1991, I'm held to a higher standard of being a fiduciary. And a fiduciary means one thing. I have to do what's in the client's best interest. So I no longer hold the licenses on the security side, the FINRA licenses, because I only believe in the fiduciary standard, which is always looking to do what's in the best interest of the client, which is all you should be held to, in my opinion. So, you know, the retail client or the individual who's out there is looking, saying, hey, how do I know who is what? And that's the difficult part of making that decision. But I would say your biggest part is how do you get paid? Are you commission or are you fee-based? Fiduciary, myself, I can't receive commissions from securities. I can only receive fees. So with the Department of Labor's new law looking at being passed, it's going to have a best interest contract that will have to be signed by the client, spelling out exactly what they're going to be charged and how they're going to be charged. So you really need advisors, and I say this because, you know, I tell our advisors, you're part psychiatrist and you're part investment advisor, because you're there to help clients not make wrong choices out of fear or greed. And we help them and guide them and understand their risk tolerance all the time to make sure they understand how their portfolio is constructed, so they don't run into these problems and overreact to a volatile market or overreact to a, you know, an egregious market with the markets going up and they want to take more risk, which is the time they should actually be paring down their risk. So our advisors are very important to clients, because we help calm them, understand their risk, understand their portfolio construction, and when things go either too much to the south or too much to the north as far as their investments, they always have a keen idea that my advisor is a fiduciary and has to look out for my best interest.
And it's funny, you brought up another two of the two. There's eight words that are no good in the investing community, and you got the other two now, which is fear and greed. And that just goes to show you how smart Drew is, because he's bringing out things without me asking for them, so he knows them. Now, the other four words, and the four most dangerous words that always come out, are this time is different. Okay, now, Drew, tell us why markets are never different, and it always comes back down to the discipline and management.
Well, if you always look at the way the markets are constructed, you know, we are in a capitalist economy, and you're going to have the ebb and flow of what happens between, you know, too much greed on one side, whether it was the dot-coms in the 1990s and those blowing up the first couple years of the 2000s, or you get too much real estate and they're overpriced in the markets in 2007 and 2008. Now, what is your overvalued class? Well, you actually got two problems now. You got a stock market that is somewhat overpriced, but there have been some corrections in some of the severe corrections in some areas. But then you also have a bond portfolio, which is supposed to be your lower risk side, you know, in trouble if interest rates start to go up. So what we have to look at, we will always have a lot of these this volatility, because it's built into the system. I will say the only thing that is different is that now you have the government with quantitative easing. It has interrupted the normal flow of how business actually works by creating a lot more money supply to prop up the economy the last 7 years, and it's only got us about 2% growth. And I think most guys would agree that the low interest rates did not help necessarily the consumer or the economy, and the consumer is 70% of the GDP. It really only helped corporations keep that money or refinance their debt and not make big investments in their own companies for organic growth, but rather use that money a lot to buy back shares to lower their outstanding shares, which allowed the options to be worth a lot more money. So I think that rather making capital investments in their own companies was an eye-opener for a lot of people, that they're using the money for other reasons. And that's where we found out that the quantitative easing had outworn its welcome. And so the markets are a little bit different today. But you still have your normal capitalist economy that's, you know, supply and demand. And right now you have a lot less demand in a lot of areas, in particular oil and other commodities. And the commodities depression that we're in right now is because of supply and demand problems. And no longer China, you know, propping up, you know, materials and commodities in the last year or so. So we are seeing some opportunities with respect to the tactical portfolio management. And I would be very nervous about just holding an asset allocation model today.
Do you guys use any commodities, Drew, in your investing?
No, we don't at this point in time. We do not. It's mostly, you know, your stock and bond side, long or short, and that's been our particular area of concentration.
No, I mean, and that makes sense. I mean, you got to stick with what you do best. Now, I've been on record as saying that I'm sad that there's so much financial engineering going on between all the central banks around the world, and they're actually manipulating markets, and that we don't have as much free market and price discovery as we should have. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, it's all out of balance right now because you have you have the world going to this quantitative easing model and even negative interest rates now in Japan. So you know that deflation could be possibly right around the corner, which is even worse. So we have to be very careful what we're doing. And the Fed raised rates, and why did they raise rates? This is the $64,000 question. Are they raising rates as long as the economy stays at 2% GDP and 5% unemployment? If they keep raising rates through 2016, are they merely reloading their gun? So if it drops down to the recessions, they have some ammunition to lower rates again and not have be forced to use quantitative easing. So different thoughts out there on what exactly is taking place, but the worldwide quantitative easing experiment, and that's exactly what it is yet to be truly tried and reviewed as far as how history will treat this.
What was your thought, Drew, of Japan and the Bank of Japan going to negative rates?
Well, it's an oddity. Now there's their economy, and they've been in such a laggard economy for 20 years that they're willing to go to negative interest rates, which the stock markets saw as a positive. Well, that's not a positive if you have to go to negative interest rates to have your economy, stay afloat. So, I was very, I was a little bit surprised because you'd heard some different words out of Japan previously, but now that they're willing to go to this extent, that should not be a positive to the markets. That's actually a negative because they can't get their economy going like they need to, and they've stepped now into the negative interest rate arena, and that's just, to me, that's not a good thing.
And of course, I could not agree with you more that it's not a good thing. And I think that there's been, again, way too much. And Japan has been in this quantitative easing program for over 30 years. And I think you would have thought we would have learned by now that doesn't work. But when we come back from the break, we're going to talk to Drew more about what he sees looking forward, because there's always things to look forward to. And we're going to look at some of the upper. And we're going to take here and step out here for a break. But I want to remind you to check out BubbaTrading.com. Make sure you check out some of the new classes that we're offering. It's something that, again, we believe in it. And our good friend Drew believes in being in good, solid strategies. And, we always respect what Drew has to say because, again, he's telling you straight. I mean, he's got no percentage and not giving you the best information and the best way for you to take care of yourself. But make sure you do go to BubbaTrading.com. And if you ever miss a show, you can go to LibertyTalk.fm and get every show on demand that you could ever miss one, or you want to re-listen to Drew, who's giving us just some really terrific stuff. You can do that. But make sure you check out the articles that we're putting out for you and everything that we do, because right here at the Bubba Show, our goal is to help make you a better investment, a better investor, to create more wealth for yourself and keep yourself always on top of the game. And that's why we always bring on guys like a Drew Horder from HorderInvestment.com. We're going to step out of here for a break. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. And of course, you miss an episode, LibertyTalk.fm. We'll be right back after the break. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. We'll see you back right after the break with more from Drew Horder from HorderInvestment.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with our friend Drew Horder from HorderInvestment.com out of Cincinnati. One of the bigger RIAs and one of the smartest guys we know. And Drew, as we look into, where we've been and the markets, they look to be in a little trouble. And you made something very, a great keen observation in the last segment about deflation and how much more dangerous deflation is than anything else. Why is that? Explain to everybody why deflation is a scarier thing than anything else.
Well, when you have deflation, you have prices coming down, and you can't necessarily relate what you're purchasing because now you have a stronger dollar with respect to most of the currencies across the world. So now, in addition to possibly a deflationary versus inflation, which is prices keep going up, now you have prices going down, and in a fight between corporations to even stay in business at the cost of actually doing business. So deflation is actually, you know, can be more of a problem than inflation. So in today's world, we got to make sure that you have some stability of pricing. This is why everybody's worried about oil going down to maybe $20 a barrel because of the lack of demand. And now with Iran being able to produce oil, now you got even more problems with respect to, you know, prices coming down even more so. So what's a good thing or a bad thing? You just don't want to get into a recession and then deflationary issues at the same time, because now you got more problems, you know, to handle. So the stimulation of what's happening growth wise in any developing country is going to be paramount going forward. But we think there should be a lot of rough patches. You know, we talk to a lot of people on the street as to what's going on in their business. And we were having a training of about 50 advisors here in town last week, and the hotel manager comes up to me and says, "Do you see a recession coming?" I said, "A recession won't surprise me if it happens. From what I read, we could very well be heading into a recession." And I said, "Why do you ask?" He goes, "Well, we just got information from our corporate headquarters that our Wednesday and Thursday night bookings are way down." Which is our two biggest days. So people aren't traveling as much as they used to with the corporations, and we're seeing a recession by the second half of this year. And I'm going, interesting statistics, because, you know, if you talk to people on the street and you hear stuff like that, you go, wow, there must be other things going on in the economy that a lot of people aren't aware of. I would never have known that had he not brought that up to me, that their bookings, they're having to lower their prices to get bookings on their usually big nights of Wednesday and Thursday stays in their hotel. So very interesting times we live in, which goes back to the same mentality. You got to have more than two ways of making money today. You can't just hope and pray the stock market goes up, and you can't hope and pray that bonds stay flat and interest rates don't go up. You got to have the ability to make money in all those environments, up or down in the stock market, or up or down with interest rates and flexibility. And worst case, you go risk off the cash and you watch what unfolds with the volatility. So again, a lot of different things that, you know, your listeners need to take heed to is that, you know, how am I actually positioned? Because I'll tell you, most people have no idea how much risk they actually have in their portfolios.
That's for sure.
In fact, when we talk to them, they'll tell us through some risk tolerance tests and one of questions we ask, that most people really want lower risk and safety and security. But when you actually analyze their portfolio, and we have a link that people go to do their own risk score, you find out that they're diametrically opposed in their portfolio as to what they just told you they want. So what is it? It's low risk and safety and security, or 60% or so in stocks or individual mutual funds or ETFs, and 40% in individual bonds, which is could be even worse because now you've got interest rate risk to that specific bond, and if they have long durations, you could be in big trouble if interest rates start to skyrocket. So it's a real eye-opener for our advisors and their clients when they go back and actually go through this exercise, that people are shocked at how much risk and volatility they actually have in their portfolio that they had no idea they had.
And that is very, very true. Drew, do you guys ever use any option strategies to create protection around your portfolios?
No, we're just long or short, okay, you know, on the ETFs in particular, or we go to the inverse mutual funds if we need to do that, but not direct stock options, puts or calls.
Okay, great. And Drew, What is your forecast? And I don't want, look, I'm not looking for some crazy call. What are you looking for, like, in the next 12 months? How do you see the markets playing out from your perspective?
Well, we did a look-see in the last 6 months and last year, and one very interesting telltale was that if you take out the FANG, the Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google out of the market, you know, and you equally weight stocks in the S&P versus market cap weight them, the S&P was down 21%. Now, most people don't understand that. What do you mean it was flat? Well, that's because it's market cap weighted. So it was flat last year. So we've already seen a huge correction in a lot of stocks already, and some of that's continuing. So as we get down to, what's the economy actually going to do, I see the economy slowing. I see demand for goods. I see people getting scared. I see people pulling back. You know, it won't surprise me with a 0.7 GDP for the last quarter, what could actually happen in the next year if we've taken away the quantitative easing and the money supply that the government was doing, and now they're actually increasing interest rates, which takes money out of the money supply, you could definitely see a recession. But, you know, we are due, in my opinion, for what I call a cleansing. You got to cleanse the abuses of the markets that have taken place. And then you got to also educate the client with respect to the risk and reward of the portfolios they hold. So going forward, it won't surprise me to see GDP go negative, possibly, and more unemployment because of what's happening in the energy space in particular.
And, of course, I see that as well with you. And, in fact, I said on Barney the other day, I'd be short equities and long oil. But, anyways, I say, and this is my opinion, I don't know what yours is, I say the middle class has really never left the recession that everybody says that we have. Do you have an opinion?
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with this. You have more and more people that are struggling because you have participation in the employment arena as well. So it's just not unemployment. You have a lot of people who have gone off the unemployment dole. They're no longer part of those statistics, and they're not part of the employment base. And that's the middle market that you're talking about. So these folks that are in the middle market and they are working, they're working for less wages. They're working for less money. So some of them are working two jobs. You know, so the whole employment arena has changed since 08, and now that you have the baby boomers retiring, but will still be employed for the most part in some capacity because they have to. You see a whole new, whole new economy based on that because it's just it's a tougher time. The middle class has been hurt the most. And yet they're still the ones that make up a bulk of what we do. And they, obviously the business owners are doing well. The wealthier folks are doing well. And then you have, you know, the folks, the lower middle class and lower class that are, you know, more people than ever on food stamps and et cetera. So there's a widening gap there that needs to be changed.
And I couldn't agree with you more, Drew. Drew, it's certainly been a pleasure to have you on today. You give great insight, and you hit all the buzzwords by accident. It was great. It was just natural and honest, and I really appreciate you being on.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Bob. It's always great talking with you and catching up. And, you know, I could talk all day long, and I'm glad that hopefully we can impart some wisdom to your listeners, and they can contact us directly at our website.
Give us the website and the phone number, please.
HorterInvestment.com, HORTER, and phone number is 513-984-9933 here in Cincinnati Eastern Time.
This has been Drew Horter from HorterInvestment.com. Check him out. I'm telling you, he just gave you all off the cuff great information that will help you protect your money and your portfolio. That's why we have always the best here at the Bubba Show. This has been the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. That'll do it for today. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station, the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.